Well, amen and good morning, man. We're so glad you're here with us this morning. I'm glad this front row is filling in, man. I really like to see that full. All the brave Baptists in the front row. I appreciate that this morning. So, hey, this morning, man, we're going to hear from Chris Barden. Chris is one of our elders in training, and so he's going to bring God's word this morning. And so we're going to pray for him. But as we do, I want to mention this. I don't think I've ever told Greg this, but we started praying about planting this church in 2018. And at the top of that list, I got it at the house, is Greg and Laura's name on the top of that list, that they would one day be a part of this church that God was brewing out here from 2018. And I think you guys came probably about a year ago, Greg? Yeah, all right. So we were praying for you way before you were thinking about coming here, Greg. And so God helped me remember that a minute ago, that there's a sticky note on my mirror at the house that has your name on it that we were praying for since 2018, that you would come be a part of what God was doing out here. So prayer works, and so we're going to pray for Chris this morning, and then we're going to trust that the Holy Spirit's going to move in this place. And so, Heavenly Father, we just, again, thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for the ability to gather together. God, I pray that we don't take that for granted. I pray we don't take our salvation for granted. I pray we won't take our ability to gather and worship for granted. Lord, that we would make the most of every breath you've given us. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit be in this place today, that you would be with Chris as he brings the word, Lord, and you would just help us to have ears to hear and a heart to understand. God, that you would just move us in the direction you would have us to go. We do pray for those in the room that do not yet know you as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. They would hear your gospel and receive it and believe it and know the hope of heaven this morning. And so, Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we just praise things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. If you don't know me and know how I am with schedules, I really appreciate people who stay on top of schedules. I had a thought in my head that I was preaching on August 20th, and then I was told it was August 9th. And then I looked up the 20th, and that's like a Thursday. So the critters in this room would have heard a message, and y'all wouldn't have. But I want to personally welcome everybody here today. It's not always easy being here on a Sunday. This truly is probably my favorite morning of the week. Everybody here, you're either mad at the Lord, you're confused, you're hurting, you're yearning to know the truth. You already love the Lord. You're seeking more knowledge, whatever it is. I love being here. I love seeing your faces. I love hearing your stories. And I love just being a part of your life. And I want you to know that you don't have to be perfect for Jesus to love you. As a matter of fact, we can't be perfect. And I know in some of our heads that just like short circuits something in there, but we can't be perfect. And despite that, he still loves us and he desires a relationship for us. And to some people, a lot of us in this room are typical people. Someone will look at you and assume that you have a normal life. They wouldn't be taken back by how you look, talk, sound, smell, laugh, or walk. And there are some of us also in here that don't look and talk and act like the rest of us. And no, boomers, I'm not talking about us millennials. But I had to pick on somebody. And in our eyes, they can sometimes look different. They can communicate differently. They can get to place differently than us. And some of us may not even be, and some of them may not be able to function without a caregiver, unlike a lot of us. But let me tell you the real difference between these two type of people I just described. Absolutely nothing. The first verse I want to go through today is John 10:10, and it says, the thief, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I come, Jesus says, I come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Do you really think that Jesus made my friend Sam, Silas, and Tyler, and many more friends that I've made in this life to be weird or less than? You know, I'm not saying you think this, but when I started writing this sermon, this isn't what my thoughts were. This is just what came out on the paper. But think about it. Do you think that a good father who loves his children and desires us would create something that's imperfect? The answer is no. He created you. He created me. And I don't care what you do or look like that is different from the so-called typical human. My Father created you perfectly and for a reason. So if you don't know, can you put picture one up? Yep. If you don't know, one of our big mission fields here at Replicate Church, and by mission field is, I mean that the people that God has put on our heart to serve and reach for Him are the people of East Milton. And unfortunately, in this area, just like a lot of areas or most areas, the special needs and disabled people are considered an unreached people group. They are a group of people in this world that the world sometimes sees as less than, that a normal life can sometimes leave behind, and that resources are scarce and sometimes non-existent for. Just think about how hard it is on a mother and father who have a kid without special needs in this world. If you've been there, you know it's already tough. Just doing life is tough. But to be in this world with a blessing that God gifted you of a special needs or disabled person is way tougher. If you don't believe me, just ask what they go through. Find somebody and talk to them. See what's going on in their life. But what I've found is when you do that, be prepared for their response. I haven't met one yet that hasn't responded out of kindness, gentleness, and understanding that most of us can lack in our life, especially the ones that get it and have given their life to Jesus already. They're doing life with Jesus. So I, along with a few of my friends here at church, have started and are starting a special needs chapter for disability hiking called Luke 5 Ministries of Northwest Florida. And yes, this is my shameless plug. We first came across this contraption here at Johnny and Friends. Absolutely fell in love with it. So this ministry is a hiking ministry to give people access to a part of the world where their bed, their wheelchairs, their scooters, their canes, their feet, and you name it, they can't go. This ministry is here to take people off the literal beaten path and explore God's creation. We are here to show them the beauty and the freedom and the love of God through nature and other experiences, and giving them our time so they can experience life in a way that we can, but before now they can't. Our ministry will have a contraption that is called a Rosie. So the one wheel thing right there that you're looking at is called a Rosie. It's named after a young lady the founder of this ministry, Kevin in Ohio, knew that passed away. So it's a portable device with one wheel beneath the seat. It has a lever on it. It folds back and folds forwards for ease in and out. Has levers and handles and brakes and safety harnesses controlled by one person in the front, one person in the back. And I should have put a different picture up here, but typically a person on each side for stability left and right. But as you can see, Sam up here is a daredevil and he didn't need that one. So this contraption allows us to literally put almost anyone in it and take them pretty much anywhere that we can go by walking or hiking. And our helpers, we call them Sherpas. Can you put picture two up there? Stuff like this, if you're in a wheelchair or you're in leg braces or if you are on a walker or if you just can't move yourself, places like this, you can't go. Sometimes if you're hiking, there may not be a lot of places like this around here, but sometimes if you're hiking, you're going to miss out on beauty and nature and places because of accessibility. And that's what we're here for. We're here to take people down a path they've never been able to go before and then let them experience something new. So have you ever been in the woods or driving down the road or walking down the road and saw like a peculiar tree or like an odd flower or one of my favorites? You turn a corner somewhere in your house and there's this huge banana spider, you know, the big yellow and black spiders right there. You know, now while we may not like that spider, when we see these things. Our mind, or at least my mind, says, wow. First it says, oh, right? But when you look at it, my mind says, wow, that's actually a really beautiful creature. Like, I've never seen a tree like that. I've never seen that oak tree that big. It's got that swing on the bent branch, and people are using it. It's being a part of God's creation, and it's being used. Right? I've never heard that bird song before. All of these things represent things that show the beauty of our Creator and how much He wants us to see His beauty in the gifts He's given us. And when you look at that spider, you can see how intricately that spider is made. You can see its fangs and its legs and its whatever the body, other body parts are called. You can see, like, you look at that flower and you see how delicate the petals are. You see the pollen inside of it. You see that it's feeding not only other flowers, but it's feeding the bees. It has a purpose. It has beauty. It's designed for something. So why do we see people who, when they look bent and not quite the same as us, differently then? Have they not been created just like that tree by the same maker? He didn't make a mistake with the other parts of creation. So did he make a mistake there? You are here on purpose. So why would we not share this with everyone? Young, old, disabled, disabilities, or just scared? We want you to know who Jesus is and what he can do for you through our ministry of hiking, through this church as well, but through our ministry of hiking and what we can share. So let's get to our text, Luke chapter 5, 12 to 26. And this is how Jesus shows me he sees his people. So let's start in verse 12. And while he was in one of these cities, 12 through 16 is going to set the scene for 17 through 26. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. So what he was doing is he was in this area, and he was, everywhere he would go, he was preaching the gospel. He was preaching about Jesus coming. He was healing people, and the crowds would gather, and they would flock to him, and they would come to him, just so they could be healed, just so they could see him, just so they could be in his presence. Like verse 15 says, the crowd gathered to hear him and be healed of their infirmities, just so they could get some relief. So on one of these days, as he was teaching, verse 17, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. When I initially read this and actually looked at it, something jumped out at me, and the power of the Lord was with him, talking about God in the flesh sitting there with those people to heal. It struck me as an odd comment to put in there at first. Like, why would the Bible tell us that the power was with him when we just heard that he's been healing I don't know how many people for how many days and how many towns and how many places? Like, he just told us he went and healed the leper guy just the other day, right? So we know he has the power to heal. Let's keep reading and find out why he put that in there. So this man had a disability. He wasn't like the rest of us who can walk. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus, but finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. I can only imagine how this scene looked. You have a huge group of people. Just imagine this building packed full of people, and there's people surrounding this building. And they're here to see and hear and be there with Jesus. And then you have this group of friends on the outside carrying this guy in what I can imagine looked like a stretcher or a bed, trying to get through the crowd. You think about the ministry we're doing, it's almost like there were Sherpas trying to get this man somewhere he can't take himself, trying to get this man to God. You know, the resources this paralyzed guy had through his friends was not enough for normal people to step out of the way and receive someone who wasn't like them. I can only imagine his friends going up to the crowd and begging people to move. Please let us through. We've got to get in there. But the people at a minimum ignore them. The Bible doesn't say exactly what happened with the crowd, but I can imagine there was probably some angry looks, some disgusted looks, some people jeering at them, some get the cripple away from us, or whatever it may be. You know, but knowing people, I can only imagine some of that at least went through their thoughts, and at a minimum, they were ignored. At a minimum, somebody with disabilities, with limited resources, was ignored. But these friends, they didn't give up. So these friends, they knew what the end goal was, and they knew Jesus, and he would make things right. They did not let the normal ignorance of the common people of that time stop them from their mission. But think about how many times in our lives that we have let the common people around us stop us from sharing the good news of the Savior. Because we're scared. We don't like what they're going to say. We let them stop us from sharing the hope, from helping someone fight down that narrow path that leads to salvation. Do you let other people who don't know your mission or hate your mission stop you from that ultimate goal? Those Sherpas in this story did not. So what did they do? Well, just like any good friend of a person with disabilities, they hauled his selfless butt to the top of a roof. Can y'all imagine what's going on in that poor guy's head? This dude is paralyzed. I don't know if he can talk or not. He's laying there helpless. And I have a joke in here that I want to say, but I don't think I need to. But I can guess what he's saying. And part of it is, I really hope these guys don't drop me. I'm going to say it. I could probably be paralyzed if I hit the ground, right? That's my messed up mind, so y'all forgive me on that. But seriously, though, this guy is probably thinking, look, these idiots are pulling me up on a roof, like a roof of all things, and I don't even have a chance to fight back. Like, what am I going to do? Lord, help me. You know what? But during his terror and his fear and his helplessness, his friends became the mechanism that would bring him to the one place that he could find peace. They tore open the roof and lowered their friend down to get to Jesus. They risked injury, ridicule. I can only imagine jail time by damaging somebody's property and possibly their own life to show this man love. They became his hands and feet when he couldn't get there himself. So they lowered him down. Verse 20, it says, and when he saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus saw the faith of the Sherpas bringing the man who couldn't do for himself to him, he says, because of your friends, that your sins are forgiven you. But in verse 18, we were just told the power to heal was with him. So what is he doing? Why isn't he healing this man like they brought him to him to do? First and foremost, he is doing the ultimate act of love and giving this man life, John 10, and abundant life. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So just a little context into the Jewish culture of this time. In the Jewish culture, it was believed that two people can forgive sins. The person who was wronged and God. And it's also believed that in some of the sects of that area, that disabilities and abnormalities were caused by sin committed, whether it was that person or a family member or somebody like that, and that it had affected them. So when they heard what he said, they knew he wasn't wronged by the guy. He just got here. The man's been paralyzed. It's not like he walked in front of Jesus and did something he shouldn't have sinned against him. The dude just lays there. So instead of believing God is who he says he was and believing that the man they came to see was the Son of God, who has all authority in heaven and on earth, they just knew that this man in their hearts was a fraud. And he was blaspheming against God. You know, they doubted in their minds what they had just heard from this man. How many times have we seen or heard the truth and we've doubted in our minds who God really is? Verse 22, when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Have y'all ever realized that Jesus actually knows what you're thinking? He knows what you're thinking right now. Whether it's, I've never seen that guy without a hat up there preaching, or whether it's, I'm hungry, or whether it's, who knows what it is. Jesus knows what you're thinking right now. That's a scary thought to me. He knows when I'm driving down the road and I just want to turn my wheel the wrong way too fast just to take care of what I think is a problem, right? He knows what's in your heart. And when Jesus asks a question, like, why do you question in your hearts? Jesus doesn't not know the answer. He knows the answer before he asks the question. He wants us to realize, like, hey, I'm wrong. Like, what I'm thinking right now, what I'm doing right now, what I did, that was wrong. Please forgive me. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for the recognition that he is all-powerful and all-knowing, and we are not. So he says in verse 23, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk? But right now he's saying, well, anybody can say your sins are forgiven you. It doesn't matter. It's just words, right? Anybody can say it. It doesn't matter. But he's saying, can anybody just say, rise and walk? Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up, pick your bed up, and go home. If you hadn't come to realize now in the short life we've had, us as people are stubborn. We can see Jesus in our lives and know he has taken care of us. But do we believe he is who he is claiming to be? Do we, like the leaders here, have to have that ultimate proof that Jesus can do what he says he can do before we believe and accept him? So to prove all these doubting Thomases wrong about their wicked hearts and thoughts, he simply said, here you go. I'll show you this time. Anyone can say your sins are forgiven, but not just anyone can say that, can mean that, and have it to be true and heal someone who has been paralyzed. So he healed the guy up. It's just as easy as taking a breath for Jesus. He said, hey, buddy, time to kick rocks. And the guy did. He got up and left. Verse 25, it says, and immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, We have seen extraordinary things today. Notice what it didn't say. It didn't say that they all became believers. It didn't say that every one of their hearts and minds were changed. It said that they glorified him for what they saw him do. They were there for miracles. They were there for, some of them, for a show to prove that they saw this man Jesus heal somebody, God heal somebody up. And just like us, we can glorify God and still not accept him as the ultimate Lord of our life. We can still hold on to our own vices that we think is best for us. We can still say, I am not ready for that freedom Jesus brings because I can't, or I'm not ready to give this thing, whatever that thing is, up. You know, accepting Jesus is a personal choice we must make. Some of these people in this crowd, we may see again in heaven. I have a bad feeling a lot of them we won't, and Jesus knows that, knew that. And I hope that's not the case, but God was there in that moment for that one. That one lost sheep whose friends knew he couldn't make it on his own to God. That scared to death, paralyzed man on top of the roof, being lowered into the freedom he didn't know about or understand yet. So why did the Bible tell us he had the power to heal with him? Well, it's because God knew my feeble little mind would go stupid when I read this and not remember that the goal of Jesus is no one will die and go to hell. His mission is John 10:10, to give life and give life abundantly. His ultimate mission was not for that man to walk out of that room on his own two feet. That was a bonus. That was something that came after the love of Jesus. His mission was completed when he forgave that man and made him a new man in Christ. I'm almost done. Matt, if y'all want to come up. Will you put picture 3 up, please? Yeah. So what is your mission? My mission is to bring that person who is sitting in that seat hiking with us to Jesus, if they don't know Jesus. And I don't care what it takes. If it takes me hiking with them for years and years, with my joints grinding and my body drenched in sweat and my feet blistered, for them to know and be in a relationship with Jesus, then so be it. And I know every person on the team that's going to be doing this with me feels the same way. If the person who needs Jesus is not sitting on that rosy seat but is hiking with us or is a family member and they don't know Jesus, then that person is my mission. We are getting this mission going because Jesus forgave us and we know that freedom we have in him is true and pure and life abundant. This picture right here is my mission. This man has a disability that he has never been able to go and get baptized before because he couldn't fit in a tub or whatever it was. And I'm pulling all this off social media. It's out there for everybody to see. And this is a video that's absolutely awesome if you go to Luke 5 and watch it. This man was begging to be baptized because he already knew Jesus. He just couldn't physically show people himself through the act of baptism. So the Sherpas helped him do that. People, are you willing to be that person who will do and what it takes to bring the so-called least of these to Jesus and to show them joy and peace? And I don't mean only disabled people and people with disabilities, but I mean the lost souls who are on a path in this life that you're walking with, that if you don't tell them something, that thief will ambush them. He will steal and kill and destroy their soul for all eternity. You are not willing to do that. Check your heart. Matthew 10:10, it says, not 10:10, I'm sorry. In Matthew 10, I have to turn to it. Just a second. Give me just a second. I'm going to paraphrase it. In Matthew 10, it says, do not be afraid of the one, there it is. Do not be afraid of the one who cannot kill your body, who can kill your body but cannot kill your soul. But be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. If you have fear of the Lord, He is the only one that can destroy both body and soul in hell. If you don't believe Jesus, it doesn't matter what those common people say or do. They can't kill you. They can only destroy the flesh. That's it. So will you be that soldier for Christ willing to risk their life and that freedom to save that one person and do anything for them to know Jesus? Are you willing to risk your life for somebody? If you don't know Jesus, we are not promised our next breath. If any time you think about this, anxiety grips your heart, even in this moment. If fear floods your veins and you just feel that pressure building as you resist the invitation of Jesus, know this. Fight that thief of freedom in your life. Give your life to Jesus. Fear has no place, and freedom can be a moment away. But so can death if you ignore the call. There are so many people in this room who want to show you that freedom that Jesus brings. And if you need help, look for somebody who's smiling and has joy on their face. Come see me. Come see Pastor Jared. Come see any of the deacons in here. Don't walk away today if you don't know Jesus. Don't walk away today if you do know Jesus and you don't have that one person on your prayer list that you're just pouring your heart to Jesus over. Let's pray. Father God, you have given us a life, a very short life, but you gave us clear instructions. You said, go and tell people about me, be their hands and feet. You're saying when that person's on that rosy and they can't do for themselves, bring them to me. God, I know I've messed up so many times in my life, but you keep forgiving me and you keep giving me second chances. And we can see the power of your healing today through Greg and through everybody else as you're actively doing it. You're alive. Your miracles are still here. But we just have to do. We just have to pray. We just have to believe, God. And I pray for this church that you embolden us to be those warriors for you that are willing to stand up and fight against the common people who don't care, who don't see it the right way, who hate our mission, who hate your mission. Help us to stand up for what is right. Help us to be those Sherpas to the people who can't do for themselves. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen.